The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You're listening to WRS 22 Pirate Radio for the Wasteland. Listen, folks, we've got a major emergency. Giant, glowing, crab-like creatures are parading through Old New Orleans, tearing and killing everything in that path. My folks at the Rising Sun train loaded me up and rolled out of the station already, heading for safer waters. Listen, if you're finding yourself on Bourbon Street, get the heck out of there, you crazy cat.
Alright, meanwhile, we'll be back in a little bit, okay? You just stay right there.
Gregory, it's so wonderful to see you. Will you give me a hug before you go? I don't understand. If you leave, I'll never see you. And then that's your wife walking out, just like walking.
Peppermint, yeah, all right, I'll give you a hug.
Gregory, do not hug that woman.
What? She's a lonely old lady. Lonely
Gregory, she bumped into a nightstand and her leg came off.
Yeah,
do not hug that woman.
In power armor. Oh, no, he's out of power armor. He's out of power armor. He's not in power armor.
Yeah, but you're...
I'm going to be very gentle.
Gregory.
I'm going to allow her to hug me. I'm not going to hug back.
Okay. All right. Okay. Your body count's pretty high for the day too, sir.
I'm going to do like the way everyone hugs their grandma. You know, it's like.
Oh, okay.
Not really.
A gentle. Yeah.
I'm not going to make roll.
Just a granny hug. Just a.
Having a lack of power armor helps you out in some. Because if you were to hug granny in power armor.
We will remember this and bring this up later. We will have to bring this up later. It's like, remember, it wasn't so bad not being in power armor, remember?
It'd be like five rockets going off in a star shape.
Just you gotta hug.
Right.
Smell like week old bacon that's been shoved under a seat in somebody's car, but you gotta hug. So, you know.
Yeah, she's asleep. She stopped talking. Her leg is growing back. Pep gave her a hug. She's doing just fine for right now.
Okay,
unless, of course, she's not a mother, in which case you all are coming back to kill her. Anyways, which room are you going to next?
Three.
Yeah.
Might as well cross the halls.
Room three.
Who's the leader?
Clark will go first in this one. Three's a good number for Clark.
Three. Do agility plus survival for a difficulty one. Great. One success for you. You manage to navigate a path over to this other room. You enter this room, and it is a essentially a hall in some aspects. Like, there's a long table in there with many seats around it. There are some, it looks like large pieces of paper that have stuff drawn on it on the table. There is almost kind of like a little library of books in the corner, and is essentially what's in there. It seems like that there's like a small like closet in the room where you could store stuff as well. That's open and has been emptied. What are you all doing?
I think that almost instantly there's like a little like twinkle in Hazel's eye when she piled.
Yeah, the last library didn't go very well for us though. It's just a wall full of crazy man scrawling. Right.
There was a wall of crazy, but the last book I picked up, I managed to read, even though it was a book full of crazy. So, I mean, do you mind, guys? Like, I promise I won't fall in.
We can leave you here.
But I might take you up on that. I'm gonna go over and take a look at this pile of books.
You're not staying here alone, Elvis. I'll stay.
Yes, so right, there's a pile of books and then maps on the table.
Pile of books and maps. Yes. This is a little slice of heaven.
Pep, we're more men of action.
So can I flip through and take a look at
that's
all this?
That's the way to describe it. I'll follow along with you, Clark.
Yep. Maps look interesting to me.
All right. So Hazel, I'm going to have your character do a perception plus intelligence for difficulty 2 to look at the books. Lonnie, I'm going to have you do the same thing for the maps, and I'll give you details on both if you succeed.
Sorry, I need intelligence or perception.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say...
I'm hoping for intelligence.
Perception. Okay. You're doing... you're looking at... The, you're kind of like looking at the books. You're not figuring something out based on your own intelligence.
It was perceptions and...
Perception and science, okay.
What was I rolling? I'm sorry. I know it was perception, but...
I got science. 2 successes and one of them's a 1. I love my books.
I'm going to spend AP just to juice this a little. And I get 3 successes.
Great. See, look, you made that back.
Haha.
I think the sidebar, I think that this like 1 for luck rolls, like for getting a 1 and then you get a luck point, I think that's a pretty good rule. Because
I
that's
like exciting. That. Yeah, it is.
Good. Let me pat myself on the back some more. I'm feeling quite modest.
It is.
It's a very good right. mechanic. Thank you.
Let's start with Hazel. Hazel, you are kind of reading these essentially handwritten nature manuals. Surprisingly, these are not the crazy man scribbles. These are documented notes about the flora and fauna of the area. And they're all very interesting because none of these plants have existed before in your knowledge. You notice that a lot of these details are about how the experiment happened and that they keep on involving the experiment or the situation and nothing named in particular, but essentially there was an event that caused all of these strange purple glowing plants to out.
Are there any dates? Does it say when the event happened? Been like a decade, or is like Great War stuff?
It seems like that it is been like maybe like I'm trying to think of timelines here.
Sorry,
probably a 100 years, maybe.
Okay,
100 years ago.
So yeah, about half seas with the Great War. Sure, maybe about the same time as that. The vault in New Orleans opened. Interesting. So I'm going to sit there and I'm going to keep pouring through these books, trying to remember as much as I can as I'm actually like skimming them and trying to make mental notes of everything that I can read, like voraciously, just speed reading everything.
And Lonnie, you got your successes. So you see essentially 2 maps that have 2 very different stories attached. One, it's a map of North America. This map of North America has locations of what seems like vaults, kind of hand-drawn across. Some of them are circled, some of them are X through. Some of them have notes that say, like, talk to a merchant, this one wasn't here. But there are several vaults on this map that are circled with almost like a star beside them. One being in Chicago, one being in Indianapolis, one being in the Northeast, one being on the West Coast, and one being down in the Deep South. It's Florida. They kind of have this like star placed upon them, but the rest of them have like notes of like it's not here. Essentially, I heard a rumor from. You know, a guy at a shop asking about this. He had been to, let's say, you know, Reno, and there's not one there. Nothing mentioned of what this one or this thing is that they are looking for, but it is clear that these are vaults on the map. The second map beside of it is a map of southern Louisiana. The weird thing is there is almost like it's almost like a forecast map of I'm painting the picture for the players here. What looks like could be a hurricane and a battle map kind of like mixed together. So there's a central point that is out in the ocean and there's almost like certain waves that are kind of drawn in of of like a bar that kind of like stretches across the land. And it has certain times and dates on them. The first one that's closest to that epicenter actually has a big star on it, because that is on the map, seems like the location that you are at. And the date and the time align with the current date and time.
Okay, so map number one, does this map include some of the vaults in the local area? So there was the numbering kind of eludes me right now, but there was was it 18 that was in Old Island?
Yeah, I think okay. So. Nothing local. This is a
so it doesn't have the Old Islands. It doesn't have presumably the one that Buck came from. Nothing in this area. So we're talking, you said like Florida, Reno, Northeast. So this isn't an exhaustive map of vaults, but it's vaults that they have been checking.
Essentially vaults that they have heard stuff about that they would be able to write in information as to location and notes.
And some of these, most of the information is confirming that there is something not there.
There is something not there, except for a few of them that have essentially circled and starred where like there may be something there. Okay. It seems like
so,
there's prime locations that they have like taken notes down of like, okay, there's something not in these vaults, but in these like five or six vaults.
These are candidates.
Right.
But they're far away. It's not something that we can check locally. It's not a Vault 18 situation. It's not a Buck's Vault situation. These are distant places.
Yes.
Okay. Mental note taken. The second map appeared to be a forecast map. There was some epicenter, almost looked like a storm slash hurricane is the way you described it. And it looked like it was, I'm presuming, coming off of like the Gulf Coast, like to the south. And that these sort of radiuses or concentric circles are sort of going outward toward like Louisiana and sort of flowing northward, and that these concentric circles have times and days.
Yes.
And that our location, that so judging by this map, something should be happening at our location at this day and time?
Yes.
Okay. I think everything is clear to me right now. Thank you.
Cool.
I really don't want to interrupt Hazel, but I don't think my character can read those social cues very well. So I'm going to interrupt Hazel.
Yeah, hold on.
Sorry.
That's really cool. Huh?
Yeah, so are these maps. I've got... Let me just show you these, and then like you can get back to that, because there's no way I can read as quick as you.
Okay. I'm gonna look at the maps.
Okay. I'm going to regurgitate what I just explained to the GM to Hazel. Okay. Probably more emphasis on the national map, because I feel like she has a better head for the United States at large. And I can probably fill in some of the gaps on the more local map.
Ooh, yeah, okay. So we're going to spend some time going, no doubt. I would say Hazel is very aware of pre-war continental United States maps, or Union maps, I should say. She's more familiar with the current state of stuff on the West. But what would you say she garners from these maps, knowing what she knows both historically and more as far as more recent areas in the West go?
These vaults that they have marked are not commonly known. If you're from the West Coast, then you have some commonly known vaults. These are not ones that are commonly known.
Okay, this is going to be a weird left turn. She's going to look to see if there's any map, any vaults that are marked on the map that are like Vault 222 Anything that's just like with a two very prominent in the number.
Yeah. You are kind of looking at this map and you see in kind of New Orleans that there is an, in New Orleans, but in that like Southern Louisiana tip, because it's a grand scale, that there is a Vault 22 that has an X through it, and the note beside it says depleted.
Okay, this there's a lot of all right, so we have we might have some things to talk about, Bonnie. By any way, do you know at all what's around this vault area, this depleted Vault 22? Is this familiar at all?
What is 22 out west?
Apparently not. It's marked here on the map is like near the southern tip of like the estuaries near New Orleans. I mean I've never heard of a Vault 22, but like it's just, you know, it's just standing out to me.
Not super familiar with that one. I mean, 18's a local legend.
Right. Actually, that's probably where these, I can't help but think that's where these, all these pirate gold coins came from, is probably the New Orleans vault. I would really like to know what happened to everybody in these tree houses. Anyway, okay, so, yeah, we should probably, all of us should probably try and remember the spots on this map in case something happens to the map.
Clark, got your camera.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I'm gonna use my camera. I don't know how much film I have. I assume I've been making film or finding film, but I am going to take a picture of the maps. And I guess I'm not going to take a picture of the books because it's easier for me to take the books with me, but I'll take a picture of the table of contents in like that book that I've been poring over.
Okay, yeah, you do that. I'm not gonna use your film ammunition. So.
Well, you can make more in theory. It's just
what you do is you take the map, you roll it up like about the size of a pencil, and you jam it into the port on the Pip Boy, and it'll suck the map data out.
I don't think that's how it works, but I can actually if we have some downtime, I can program into our Pip-Boys like these new locations on the map, like discovered locations. I could
probably that sounds like work. Those.
It is work, but it depends how much. I mean, we might be up here for a long time.
Well, if we got a picture, it's fine.
All are debating this how the film works. Let's get onto the Jovial Boys here.
meanwhile, the other two are sitting there like, really, guys?
They went on. They left.
We left. We didn't wait.
Yeah.
As soon as we saw the books, we were like, just nah. Bye. I don't know anything about books.
What room did you go to next? All
right. My character was engrossed in the books. Apparently, I was engrossed in the books, too, because I totally missed that.
We left.
Yeah, I guess we'd go to four, right?
Well, yeah. Four is now gone from the map, actually, because of time.
Oh.
Because Meemaw took a while to get Meemaw out.
Okay, so four is a big empty room. Gotcha.
Five.
Five, yeah. So you all enter essentially this strange room where almost like hanging off of the ceiling, you see that there's just these like strange tables where they are kind of weaving these like certain symbols together via this machine. This machine that kind of like weaves it in these circles is metal. It's blue and gold. It has this kind of thing up metal part with almost these kind of like opposing levers that you could like, it seems like may go in a circle Atop it sits a small padded area, and underneath it, it reaches up almost from the ground and has a wheel that sits above it. This wheel is actually supported on top by a metal post that juts up into two other metal posts. That is what is in this room. A bunch of plants and this like weaving tool.
Huh. Can Pep use some of his repairs, kind of really like seeing if Pep can kind of figure out the engineering of this to figure out what this is. I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but I just want Pep to kind of understand what it is.
Do perception repair one.
Okay.
Yeah, three successes. This is right up your alley.
Yeah,
you recognize this machine as essentially a stationary bike that was found particularly in vaults vaults in this world in Fallout. rolling out into the third person here. This is a stationary bike essentially that they've reverse engineered to make it into like this almost spinning tool that's like weaving certain particular things of like old pieces of wood and vine.
Okay, so Pep's gonna tap Clark and be like, Clark, you want to know what a real devil looks like? It's a vehicle that doesn't move no matter how hard you pedal it. That's a devil. It's a stationary bike. They turn it into loom. They make their clothes out of it. Like a couple of like monsters. Like, who does that? Who takes a vehicle, something that's meant to move, and then disables it so it can't, but still utilize it as if it's a vehicle? It's a monster. It's a devil device. That's just my opinion. You should destroy that. Or maybe we should take it with us because it looks like they do make clothes out of it. That seems kind of useful. Might need it back at the settlement. I don't know.
Are you going to carry it?
Well, not now. Not in this weak flesh form.
Your fleshy, spongy body.
Well, have Lonnie carry it.
All right, so do the clothes look nice?
I didn't say that there was clothes. They're just weaving these circles out of things.
All right, what do the circles look like? What circles of what? Just
Do perception carpets? Plus survival for a difficulty 2 for me. Figure out these...
What was that roll again?
Perception plus survival for difficulty 2. Okay. Yeah, one success with that. You can tell that they are making shapes. That they are kind of weaving them together into several knots and are making these just kind of shapes with them. It's like a wreath for a door.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm.
How big feels like
a waste of time.
I mean, they're about the size. I would say, like, they're flat, so they're, like, you know, the size of the wood, but they're probably the size of an apple, I would say, like, circumference-wise.
Okay. Well, Pep's going to pocket one.
Do a luck plus do a luck plus unarmed for a difficulty 2. Okay, one success. Yeah, you pocket it and you put it in your pocket.
I'm a little confused by that roll.
Okay.
Luck is a very interesting thing.
They're blue and gold.
The bike was blue and gold.
Oh. What are the shapes look like?
They're brown and green.
It's not gonna look as good.
Yeah, I did like how I decided that I was going to describe a bike like I was talking to a bunch of aliens. There is a metal thing with two levers and a pole.
Is there anything else in the room?
There's plants that are about. This is essentially like a work zone, a greenhouse, and a place where they make apple-sized wreaths. I wish there was like a jungle gym or a trampoline or like a flamethrower or something for you silly boys to get into, but Nothing.
That was the previous rooms.
Right. Yeah. That was room number four. I missed it.
Yeah, that was.
They passed up a chance to learn belly dancing, so I have.
Is that a bouncy castle?
Well, Pet, I really don't feel like I don't feel like there's much to see here.
Yeah, nothing for you to kill. All right, we can move on.
I guess we'll go to six. What's right, behind door number six?
Hazel and Lonnie, are you still going over books, or are you like?
I will stay here as long as Hazel is here, so I'm not leaving anyone alone.
I might have to be dragged away.
Okay,
but cool. For now, let's say you that know what, if
we've gone 5 minutes and haven't heard gunfire, so
they're probably fine. I'm sure it's fine. DM, can I take a like any of these books that look like they will be very useful with me? Can I pop them in my bag?
Yeah, you can pop them in your bag. Yeah.
Okay. So how many books are we talking? There's a pile. I'm not going to take them all.
A normal amount.
All right. Not too worried. Absolutely normal. But, like we're talking sophomore high school backpack amount.
We're talking maximum library will allow you to check out at a time.
There we
Ten
go.
Books. Right.
Yeah.
10 books. Yeah. Yeah. Just enough that I'm not encumbered.
Pep and Clark, who is leading you to the next room? Who is in the lead?
I did it last time.
Oh, all right. We'll try it out. All right, Pep. We'll see what's in this final room.
What kind of chaos can you create this time?
Agility plus survival for difficulty one, Pep.
Agility. Survival. Perfection.
Do it.
Oh, no. Go to grab a branch, kind of like propel yourself to this top room, and you swing yourself across and the branch falls. Unfortunately, that creates a cascading effect and falls on another branch. It breaks. You're watching these branches fall as the branches supporting your power armor for that bridge that you made crumble it, and the power armor falls to the ground. And you see essentially from the top of this tree a motor, what did you call it? A motor claw?
Motor claw. Good name. Oh, no, motor claw. Lurk.
Motor lurk.
A motor claw works better. Let's say motor claw.
No, I like whatever you want. You're the name of the thing.
You motor can have lurk, both. Yeah. There can be both down there.
True. Oh.
Motor claws and motor lurks.
You see it approaching approaching the armor, and it tramples over it. It is so quick. It is like a train coming through a neighborhood, which is not altogether that quick, but it is not fast enough for you to quick get enough to. The power armor is now broken.
I'm sure you can fix that.
I can fix it.
You can fix it.
It's fine. It's fine.
You can fix that.
It's fine. I can fix it. Don't worry. It just means we're not leaving here in a hurry, so no one do anything too crazy, because we've got a lot of pieces to pick up.
Right.
A lot of pieces.
You come to this final room, and there's just a door to it, to this, like, it's almost like sealed in itself, but there's a door right there. But what are you going to do with this door? Let's do classic D&D. What are you going to do with this door?
What should do you do?
Knock politely.
You going to knock politely?
Yeah.
It's leading.
Maybe do a little shave and a haircut.
Yeah, that's great. that's a theme. So you hear, you knock at the door, and you hear a voice go, "Oh, thank God. Oh. I was going to be locked in here forever." Imagine this is muffled. Hey, can you guys just open the door? I something happened. I locked myself in here. I need to get out because I need to take care of Mildred. She's probably wondering where I am.
Does your name happen to be Gregory?
No. Gregory, she's a little lost. It's a long story. She's kind of complicated. If you have to ask, her backstory is 7 pages. I'm just kidding.
All right, should we open the door or no?
No, hold on. What's in it for us?
How about, so you see all of the large crawdads below you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're called motor lurks.
What?
They're called motor lurks.
Okay. Yeah, the motor lurks. They're going to be around here for probably several days. And pretty much there's only one way out of here. And I happen to not only know that, but be behind a door that has that solution.
Well, friend, it sounds like you really have something we need. So, Pep, I'm feeling generous. I feel like we just let the guy out and we don't shake him down this time. Unless he is a devil. Okay. Are you a devil?
Are you a devil?
That seems a little existential. Probably not. I try to be pretty good in general.
Yeah, see, I don't think, like, a devil wouldn't lie like that. That was, like, too wimpy of a lie for a devil.
A devil would automatically lie like that. What do you think a devil is?
I feel like a devil would be like, oh, no, I'm definitely not a devil.
What am I even talking about? There's no such thing as devils. All right, Pep's going
to
just...
Oh, you just wanted to destroy a bike because you thought it was a devil.
I mean, it is an infernal machine. It's pointless. It's so pointless. It's a bike that doesn't go anywhere. Lonnie! Hazel, have either of you heard of a bike that doesn't go anywhere? That's the dumbest thing, right?
They're not even here.
Oh, they're not here? I thought they were with us. Damn it.
No, they haven't been with us yet for the past 20 minutes.
I thought they joined us after we left the devil room.
I love that Hazel and Pep both have totally lost track of where the rest of the group is.
It's like, I thought we were all together again.
Mom and Dad are leaving the kids alone a little bit longer each time they go out.
Can we open the door? Yeah, is it just going to open right up for us?
Yeah. It opens right up for you. You see kind of a younger man. He's kind of got on this, like, almost kind of like flannel-y outfit. He's got fishing waders up around them. He has like a knife, like kind of like attached to his almost attached to like the suspender of the fishing waders themselves. Probably is like, I would say, like, everyone in this party, by the way, is like 18 or 19, right?
No, Clark is like mid 30s.
Oh,
he's the old one.
Hazel's 18. Yeah, about 18,
19. Yeah.
This is about a rather younger guy. Kind of looks like a hunter of some sort. In this room, it is just like mechanical items. There is a number of different pieces of machinery that seem to be original and reassembled. It is just a room full of machinery. There's like a little logbook beside him that seems to be a journal of checking in junk, it seems.
By the way, addendum, it just occurred to me, Clark is actually the youngest of us. He's about 2 weeks.
That's most definitely true. Clark is both the oldest soul. And the youngest and the middlest.
Yes. And the middlest.
Everyone. He's absolutely, yeah, he's not mid, but he is in the middle.
Yeah, this guy sees you all and is like, oh, God. I'm so happy that you guys have actually found me. I mean, I've been in here for, like, what, 2 days?
What happened 2 days ago?
Oh, so, wait, why are you guys here in the first place?
Tell us what happened 2 days ago, then we'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, well, so I was a part of this group called Gaia's Knot. I've been thinking about leaving for a while now. And they decided that they were also all going to leave this settlement. Because of the impending danger of essentially the crawdads. That seems like a weird word to use. I like
the motor lurk.
Okay. I decided to help out and get them all settled up. take care of. There's this strange lady that we found that was she was kind of young when we first she first came to the village, but has been quickly aging as we have been kind of like going along. I've been trying to help her because she's not a part of Gaia's Knot. She's just like kind of a, I think, a weird experiment from Old Nolans or some vault somewhere.
Yeah, we met her. She wanted me to dance. It was the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Well, did she call you Gregory?
Yeah.
She just does that. I have no clue who Gregory
is. She was young when she got here?
Oh, no.
Yeah, she just has been aging pretty rapidly in general.
Sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah. Do you know anything about that?
Wait, just he'll tell you later. Just keep telling us what happened 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. So everybody knew that the Crawdads were going to come and start essentially pillaging the land and killing everything around us. So everybody went off in search of the Gex.
Right. Why?
Why did they leave to go search for the Gex? Is that what you're...
Yeah.
100
Gex. Oh, okay. So a Gek, we were all, well, I wasn't particularly, but I just grew up in this community. We were all a part of Vault 22, and we all got released at the same time. We had an active Garden of Ishin creation kit. I mean, this is 100 years ago almost that we activated in this swamp. It created some really strange flora and fauna. And our vault was equipped with two of them. So we had been building a community here, thinking about how we could best settle ourselves. So we had a second one that we were going to build a second community with. Then we realized that there was, the impending doom coming upon us from the giant creature that's been in the ocean for, technically for even longer than most humans have been alive. This creature is going to come and destroy everything, so we are trying to collect essentially all the Gex so that once everything is dead, then we can try to help rebuild the world.
Right.
That's pretty noble.
Can we have a moment, just real quick?
Yeah, you're allowed to take a moment. I'm going to go check. Can I go? I'm going to go check on Mildred.
Yeah, sure. Just
yeah, okay. Just be careful. Some of those branches are loose now.
Yeah.
Something happened. I don't know what.
Yeah. Also, don't worry about the blood on the floor. I mean, I'm sure it's probably not new to you, but like, she lost a leg. It's growing back. It wasn't our fault.
Not that our fault is strangely not a very unusual thing. He kind of climbs down towards Mildred's room.
So, Pep, it kind of feels like these people already have a pretty good plan to deal with the Gulf entity. And I feel like maybe we should just
leave?
I feel like we should steal their plan.
Oh, okay.
And just kind of go with that one. Because I mean, it kind of feels like they've already done the legwork, so we could just kind of like hitch on to them and be heroes with them kind of thing. You know? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'm shocked, but also I really like that your plan didn't involve just stealing their plan and killing them and taking credit for it. You want to work with these people. I think that's fabulous.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll just work with them, man.
I'm not going to say I'm proud of you because that's kind of condescending. I don't want to be condescending to you, Clark, but well, I'm proud of you.
I'll be completely honest here. It seems like the least amount of effort to satisfy Lonnie wanting to save the city. I guess they don't really want to save the city. They're just going to kind of let it be destroyed and then pick up the pieces afterwards. So I don't know if he's going to go for that.
Yeah.
But it kind of feels like the best option. Kind of a shithole over there anyways. Okay,
we're here to get the second Gek. So...
Yeah.
These folks know... That's kind of us getting it. We'll know who has it. That's good enough, right?
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, all right. Should we tell Hazel and Lonnie? Yeah. But before we do that, I gotta check out this junk room. There might be some useful things for repairing my power armor.
Yeah, perception plus repair for difficulty one. Check the junk room.
Perception. Repair. Come on, baby. Oh, that's success.
Yeah, one success. You look around the room. You actually see in this room there is a bunch of old pieces. It seems like from Vault 22. Various chairs and cabinets and some equipment from the generator, it seems, that has been disassembled. In the corner, though, there is a stack of kind of these metal devices that have essentially like two ends. What's a good word? They have two exhaust ports on the back of them that jut out from the center. And it says, in case of emergency. And you recognize that these essentially 10 objects are 10 jetpacks in the back of the room.
Are these power armor jetpacks or?
They are not power armor jetpacks. They are for humans.
Well,
for power.
Goddamn, Pep is going to inspect those jetpacks and see if they are usable.
They are usable. You saw them. They are. I mean, you can tell that they could be used.
Well, Pep's going to strap on a jetpack.
Oh God.
All right.
Pep, when Pep's around, anything can be an emergency.
Pep, I thought we just agreed that it was a good idea to work with them and not just steal from them.
Oh, I don't think this is like their junk room. I don't think they're going to notice it. There's like one of them left. And also, he doesn't even want to be here. Remember, he said he was going to leave. I doubt he's going to care about, you know, me borrowing this, you know, piece of equipment they don't even use. They don't even use this thing, Clark. Come on. If you just saw like a pile of bullets that no one was using, wouldn't you just, you know, be like, oh, I guess I can just take these, right? You'd do that.
You know, for once, you're actually making a lot of sense.
Absolutely, 100%.
Get back. And I kind of want to see what happens. But can you at least wait to use it until we find Hazel so she can stitch you back together when you inevitably crash into a tree with this thing?
Listen, you know, a jetpack, I've never used one before, but I feel like it's just like driving a car, man.
It's not going to be like that at all.
Three-dimensionally.
You might be able to attach one to like both of the legs on power arm, then you'd fly around.
Like Wile E. Coyote with some rocket skates.
Are they Acme brand? Yeah.
All right, let's get those other two.
Why wouldn't you just attach it to the wrist of the power armor? That way, when you punch something, you could just like really prime it.
Oh no,
that's a power fist!
Wow,
punch. That's a power fist.
Well, we have way too many. I'm liking where this is going, but it could definitely kill all of us.
Most likely will.
All right, so are you all reuniting? I guess Pepin and Clark are going back down to the book room. Hazel and Lonnie are poring over the books and maps. You all step in. Pep, are you wearing a jetpack right now? Is Clark wearing a jetpack too?
Oh, were there two?
There were 10.
There was 10.
Oh, there's 10. Oh, I missed that.
Oh, I thought it was two.
No, there's 10.
10?
10 jetpacks. Oh,
Jesus, that's a lot.
Well, if Clark didn't take one, Pep would be wearing one carrying one.
No, I said I thought I would be carrying the second one. Okay. I didn't realize there was 10 of them.
Oh, well, then I would have grabbed one for everyone. Although Lonnie can't wear it, but he might need it. So
we'll carry three jetpacks.
Yep.
Pep not is at just all, gonna not at all sketchy.
Into the library room and be like, I found his jetpacks. Oh, we also found another guy who gave us a lot of good information. They're looking for the second Gek. You know all about the Gulf entity. It's a whole big thing, but I found some jetpacks.
Okay, that is a lot of information. Okay, let's start with jetpack. Cool. Do not deploy it while you're inside a room with us.
Exactly. Yeah. But everyone, all of us get jetpacks.
Great. So jetpacks are awesome. Yay. I've read extensively about them. So what is this about a Gek and the Gulf entity and like the death of all things and everyone we know and it, like what's well, they're going to get a Gek?
Well, they already had one and they use it. They've got a second one. They're going to try and get some more. And then the Gulf entity is going to destroy everything. And then they're just going to rebuild civilization. And personally, I think that sounds like an excellent plan.
So, yeah, if they did. Actually, that explains a lot. If a Gek was just deployed in this area about 100 years ago, it explains a lot. I wonder if they realize if a Gek is basically like a giant biological weapon. If you're too close to it, it kind of like melts and rearranges biological matter. So, yeah, it's kind of, it could be used as a weapon too by like bad people, of which we know of many.
So like
you,
this,
the optimist in human nature.
So this thing just like rearranges the atoms of stuff.
Well, kind of. It's more like, you know how to get a really good garden going, something needs to die or take a big shit to be able to get the fertilizer to actually grow really good vegetables, and so it basically turns.
I'm not sure I like where this analogy is going, Hazel.
Right, it basically turns everything into rapid growth fertilizer.
Anything.
And then feeds it. Well, I don't know the specific science of it. It was technically something classified, but I've heard stories about Geks going off and basically completely destroying and then rebuilding whatever happened to be nearby when they went off. Not in a good way. It's after the fact. Great, fantastic, vacation spots plenty. During the actual deployment, not so great.
Oh, so like we could weaponize this, is what you're saying?
Yes. We probably wouldn't be the first ones.
But it sounds like if we like used it like on the monster.
Yeah, we could just turn it into something else. We could turn it into beachfront property is what I'm hearing.
Honestly, that isn't the worst idea I've ever heard. It's actually not a bad idea.
What if it just mutates it into a bigger monster?
Well then
what if it eats like you before you turn it on?
Granted, how much worse could it get?
Look, I mean, it sounds like these people are planning to just let the thing destroy the city and then come in and clean up afterwards.
Maybe that's myopic.
Myopic?
Clark, do you know what myopic means?
No.
Well, it's not a compliment, but it's also not inaccurate. Okay, maybe. All right. At the very least, we should definitely find out where this Gek is being kept. Like, if everybody's going there, at the very least, we want to make sure we're not nearby when they deploy it. If that's the plan. But if we can get our hands on it, we might be able to use this thing, guys.
All right. Well, we got to ask the not Gregory guy where the guy's not folks went to go get the second Gek. He's talking to the old lady who's Mildred?
Mildred.
Wait, so...
Mildred?
So you found there's somebody Mildred. Still here.
Yeah, but...
He locked himself into a closet or something. Yeah.
Where I got the jetpacks.
On purpose? Yeah.
Oh, we didn't ask.
Should have asked.
I would have led honestly with that question, but okay, we should go.
Well, we asked if he was a devil. We asked the important questions.
And what did he say?
Well, he said no.
Okay, well, maybe, so he's with Mildred, we should probably talk. Yeah, let's have a sit down and a chat. And I'll fill you guys in on the stuff that... And Lonnie found out on the maps and the books.
Oh, I thought you guys were just like reading books in here.
Yes. Sorry, not a lot of books with pictures. But sorry.
Any winners, manuals? At this point, the
maybe one or two.
This, the young man enters the room because I don't want to play a scene where I'm Harvey Two-Face doing Mildred and this young guy.
Coward. You haven't GM'd unless you've GM'd a dialogue between two characters while all of your PCs sit there in rapt attention trying to get a word in edgewise.
Did you say?
Yes. Don't poke the game master. He will kill us.
Little Gregory, can you do a dance?
If we walk in, he's like, yeah, I had to dance a little bit.
So this guy enters this room with the tables and the books and you all, and he goes, "Hey, nice to meet you all. Name's Frankie. I don't think I introduced myself before. How did you lose a leg?"
She fell against a nightstand that had kind of like a sharp bevel, kind of an edge, I guess. And it just kind of fell off. She was trying to learn how to belly dance, so maybe that's on me.
Oh, God. She asked me constantly about doing a dance at the Harvest Festival, and I have no clue, really.
You know what? She did really well until her leg fell.
She's sweet enough. She doesn't mean any harm, but she needs a little extra support, and I'm happy to give it to her.
You are a very nice person.
I try to be, at least sometimes.
It's a pleasure to meet you, sir. My name's Hazel.
My name's Frankie. That's what my friends call me.
Hey, Frankie.
So, it's very strange that you all are here. What exactly are you doing here? What are you looking for? Because you've really caught yourself in a situation that, frankly, we don't really use technology that much, and guys, not unless it's an emergency, we'll use something. But we've managed to get these jetpacks together to essentially have an emergency escape plan just in case something happened and we weren't prepared for all this. We got the times wrong. And you happen to be in that emergency situation, right?
Yeah, it's lucky for us.
Yeah. We did kind of fuck around coming here. Not gonna lie.
That's true. We did a lot of fucking around.
And
we are now bonding.
It just, how do we put this? It just kind of feels like trouble follows us.
So you want to hang out with us and show us where where the rest of your group went?
Well, I can guarantee you, you won't be bored.
You won't be bored.
I mean, I'm happy to loan the jetpacks to you, but the problem is if you're not leaving right now, like to go, like you're going to be killed by the wave of what'd you call them? Motor butts? Did you call them that?
Motor lurks.
Wait.
Motor lurks. But wait, they can't get up the tree. So what's the problem?
You don't know. You don't know what's going. Okay. Well, problem is, we have the giant, the giant monster out in the ocean. There are large waves of these crawdads, motor lurks that are the size of a house. And they are essentially going to ravage the land, making way for this giant monster. They're kind of like the front end of what you would call a storm or a hurricane in these parts. These are kind of the first legs of that, and they're pretty much going to kill and eat everything that they can in their path, and that's going to continue along for the path of what they're in. And at this point in time, you're going to have to be constantly on the move in order to avoid them.
Okay. So the glow is like an essence then. So these things came out of the Gulf of Mexico?
Yeah, we think that they are actually not they are most likely things from the bottom of the ocean or even further down.
Damn. Okay. Where'd well, they that's
get
not
all those cars.
There's probably quite a few cars at the bottom of the ocean in the Gulf of Mexico, but that's probably not the correct question we should be asking. I think the question is, what? So they're just going to keep going and like a biblical plague and just destroy and ravage everything, and then there's going to be a big monster that comes up and finishes everything off. Is that what you guys?
How do you guys know that?
That is a really good question.
Oh, we've done reconnaissance on this for several years. We found out about this just from our trips to the ocean. We used several boats to get around. Looking for anomalies, looking for we have a way of the weird almost in ourselves of attuning with nature. We're not huge fans of technology unless that technology is something that's going to, much like the Garden of Eden creation kit that we used, bring nature to the forefront and create and generate new positive life from that. So what we've done is we've sent one of our most skilled hunters, Cervinia, we sent her out and she's, I guess she left 2 days ago with the other Garden of Eden creation kit out in the ocean.
To the ocean.
She's going to deploy it in the ocean?
Well, is she going to fertilize the monster?
We're hoping that we can essentially kill it with one of those, but our backup plan is to cure as many as we can, and then we will have to rebuild at some point.
So do you have a tavern or a safe space for you guys to ride it out if it gets really bad? Or are you just kind of in it to win it?
We have a connection with each other. I don't feel comfortable sharing more about that.
That's okay. Sure. That's fine. I understand you wouldn't want to tell a bunch of weird strangers who are probably kind of moderately murky that you have a safe place to ride out a new apocalypse. I get it.
Hazel, you don't have to tell the new people that we meet that we're murderers. They don't know that.
We're not murderers. We're perfectly normal people helping out. We're just concerned citizens.
I'm a newly inducted devil hunter, so I only kill devils.
Sure.
And retroactively, anybody who I have killed previously must have been a devil.
True, and you're probably still wearing splatters of their body right now as you stand here and speak to me. So it's not subtle, Clark. You're not really hiding it well. So I just figured, a little bit of honesty wouldn't be. But yes, from now on, you only kill devils. That is a noble goal. Well, maybe kill devils and maybe kill some of those monks. We might have to do that to get
That's
out of here.
That's going to turn to Frankie and just be like, no, seriously, we're good guys. We're good guys. Don't worry about it.
Frankie, we are good. And I can promise you, we haven't killed anybody who wasn't trying. I can promise you that much.
For at least a few weeks.
Well, okay, don't worry about Clark. He's different. But the rest of us haven't killed anybody, wasn't actively trying to either kill us or enslave us or, brainwash us or possibly turn us into some sort of weird science experiment. So mostly we're good.
Pep is just going to, hang his head and, walk off into a corner.
Frankie at this point is just standing mouth like kind of open, confused at the amount of just the amount of back and forth that has happened in front of him of whether or not this group is good or not. There's no role to figure that one out. It's just as the speech settles.
You won't be bored if you hang out with us. I promise you.
He kind of turns to you and he says, is there like a, you know, I have these jetpacks, but if, is there a way that you can get in contact with someone to pick you up? Because like you're not getting out of here by land. Your jetpacks are going to be able to launch you up, but that's going to be quite the problem.
Pick us up, meaning like
a bird, pretty much is your only option with this.
I don't feel like we have a bird.
Do you guys have like? I know you don't really do technology. You have like a.
Do you have like radio? Spare birds or?
I mean, no, we've got a spare bird.
What's spare?
Yeah, we've got a spare bird.
Yeah, we do, and we have. How do we get in contact? I don't think our pit boys have enough range to do that.
I mean, most of the pit boys I've seen can get long range, especially in certain regions. Have you guys ever tried that or talked to anybody via radio signal at all?
Nah, I have no idea how this thing works. It's literally slapped on to me.
I used to share communications. In fact, back in several months ago, I would be out hunting and looking in the woods, and this like super mutant on the radio, and we would talk back and forth and share these stories of like how to kill Mirelurk, which was pretty interesting in general, learning from the super mutant how to kill Mirelurk and stuff like that. I always found that really great. You're telling me your pit boys can't do that?
He's kind of tears up a little bit. Goes, well,
I don't think we've tried. Like Lonnie,
come on.
You have
somebody. No, I'm not the vault dweller here. You all have one on too.
But your Brotherhood of Steel. Shouldn't you know how to reach the other
vault dweller?
He's gonna have ways.
All right. So there is an equal chance that if I get on my pit boy or one of us gets on our pit boy, that we'll get a hold of somebody who's not friendly as that is friendly. Should we try it? I mean, we don't really have much of an alternative right now, do we? Okay. Maybe we'll get lucky. Is there any wire, by the way, in the room, like any kind of like copper wire or something that we can use to boost a signal if we need to?
We can go up to their junk room and see if there's anything useful up there that can boost a signal.
There's a junk room.
Yeah, where I got the jetpacks.
Sure. Where else would you get jetpacks? Okay, let's go check the junk room. Let's see if there's some metal we can use to make like an antenna to sort of give us a little bit of a boost.
While they do that, I'm going to be fiddling with my pit boy to see if I can find anything with communications.
Intelligence plus repair, Lonnie, all three of you are looking for essentially like a way to boost the signal. So go ahead and do perception plus repair for difficulty 2. So
all of us?
You're searching through junk. Yeah. Clark.
Yeah.
Let's just Pep and Hazel. Clark, what are you doing?
So anyways, Frankie, crazy story, right? So like the super mutant that was on radio, our radio station that was like our settlement that we had like set up and everything. And I made this like really cool sign. But this asshole motherfucker, Lonnie's dad, literally blew up our fucking radio station with a nuclear bomb. It was fucked up.
Oh, so you're the people that happened to. I heard about those nuclear bombs before. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah.
It's like actually been a pretty good zone on the fringes to kind of do some hunting with. There's been some pretty good, most like oversized like creatures to hunt that are pretty slow. I've enjoyed hunting at least on that portion of range that's out there.
You know, we hunted Lonnie's dad after that happened.
Did you find him?
Yeah, I mean, we're still not entirely sure he's my dad. There's a lot of weird DNA stuff going on here. And
yeah, but it just, I mean, he kind of said he was, right? So
I love that Clark just took Hazel to task for telling this guy too much and talking about hunting dad.
Well, like, yeah, he blew up He blew up this guy's favorite radio station. I thought he would want to know.
Oh, yeah, no, I can see that. He seems
what happened to that super mutant guy that was doing that?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Yeah,
I don't even really like super mutants, but
Brotherhood of Steel shot him up.
The bad Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah, the Brotherhood of Steel here was in Marty Buffon's pocket.
Huh. Well, we had like a weird run-in with them maybe like just a few weeks ago where we were going to a golf course and met up with these like I guess like commanders or something, and we ended up killing a bunch of mole rats and fighting a bear. Really, it wasn't me, it was just Cervinia and her crew. She was kind of watching them after they went, and she helped them with the bear, but leery of them and followed them for a little while. It seemed like a whole situation. Anything about that?
They're just going to shoot mole rats? That sounds like typical training stuff they do with recruits.
Oh, okay. Right. While that conversation's happening, let me go back through these rolls here. Yeah, you all have the successes you need, I believe, to do all of this. Pep, you're able to find a radio station that is active, WRRS-22. You all managed to piece together a old, essentially a salad bowl that was metal that you've converted into like kind of like a radio dish for your Pit Boy. And you now have pieced together the Pit Boy and the line is open. What do you say?
Lonnie, use some Brother to Steel code.
Rising Sun, this is Fireteam Actual. Do you copy?
Oh, what's up, my cool cat? How you doing? This is Skip over here in WRRS-22. Is this Lonnie Haybear?
Yes. Skip.
Yes, yeah, I'm one of your... I mean, don't you remember me? I was down there at the... We wanted to have a dance party we're talking about down there at the Rising Sun Settlement. We tried to get some speakers, then, you know, a nuclear bomb, a Christmas village, and now we're on a train. A long story short, you remember me, right?
How could I possibly forget? So, whereabouts are you?
Funny story, we're actually leaving Old Orleans right now because it's being overrun by giant crawdads.
Okay, out of character, where are we in relation to Old Orleans as the crow flies?
I mean, you would be south, but I mean, the way that like the, so like if the epicenter of the storm is down here, and this is Louisiana here. This is not great for podcast listeners, but I've got my hand and a fist up.
Yeah.
It's coming, like, the storm is coming up like this. So, like, New Orleans is here, you're down here, and so it's a wave that's kind of hitting everybody at the same time.
Okay. So, presumably, if they were to head in a westerly direction, could we try to plot an intercept course?
With the train, no.
But if we got the vertibird,
yeah, the vertibird could pick you up.
Okay. Skip, I'm going to need you to get the vertibird pilot on the air post-haste.
Hey, by the way, who should fly the vertibird? We didn't have a pilot.
We did have a pilot because he's one of the few that we let survive.
Yeah, he ran away because you threatened him.
Okay, excellent. We need to find someone to pilot the vertibird. Skip, you seem to know a lot of people. You knew me by voice. Yeah. Now, Skip, it is very important.
Name another one of your settlers. You're the mayor?
Skip, I need to know who can pilot. We're not doing a census right now. I need a pilot.
Okay, does anybody remember what the name of our train engine?
Oh, I don't remember the train engineer, but I know my two mechanic buddies. They might, Tucker and Ford.
You know, Tucker and Ford might you pick them as your assistants because they knew their way around mechanical stuff and they turned out to blow stuff up. So,
Skip, I need you to get Tucker and Ford to get that vertebrate going up. I need you to get them going at a heading of 270. Do you understand?
Sounds good, boss man. I like this a lot. Hey, I'm going to get back to playing some music while we're escaping certain death. So I'm going to send that vertebrate your way, and I hope that you have an awesome day.
That's wow. Pretty chipper for what's going on right now, but all right.
I mean, you kind of want that in a DJ. I get it.
Yeah, no, he's good.
Hope he plays some Dean Domino.
Can we at least listen to the radio while we get killed here?
If he's playing crappy music, I'm turning it off.
Well, I mean, let's
and
give him a
chance.
We're
going to have a word with him.
Well, you know, if we get out of here alive.
Yeah, let's survive first.
None of that conversation really inspired any confidence in me.
Yes. We should probably take the extra jetpacks with us.
Also, what are we going to do about Pep's power armor? Oh, yeah, you guys missed that. So his power armor is broken.
It fell off the tree.
It did what?
Yeah.
Fell off the tree.
You know
he
what?
Can fix it.
I can fix it. In fact, maybe I should climb down there and get it.
There's house size motor lurks down there.
Maybe we can get you a new one that has is less likely to have the power cord fall out. Maybe.
Pep's gonna peer down to the ground.
I'm sorry.
How dangerous does it look?
I don't think you understand how much of a bonding moment that power armor was for me and Pep.
So you're Simba, and there's just Gazelle, just like trampling, like, but you know, the size of a car, the speed of a train in a neighborhood, an innumerable amount of them clawing over the landscape. That is what's going on. The power armor is at the base of the tree, and so it's you know blocked enough by the like size of the tree, but is still in like it's not like directly in the middle of them, but they are like trampling over it like pretty consistently.
I'm gonna ask Frankie because they have a whole like big equipment room up in this treehouse. If they have
a crane to get stuff up
to use to haul up equipment.
Right, they got that they got all this stuff in the junk room here.
Mm-hmm.
Like they probably have a crane somewhere. That makes perfect sense.
Okay, yeah. So you're just asking for
it's a giant claw game.
Yeah, like a crane, Andy.
They got a knit rope.
Net guys. I don't really know much outside of they provided these jetpacks for us. I just hunt. Like, I don't know what all we have. I know the plan. They clued me into the plan. They gave me this jetpack to, you know, get Mildred out of here in time.
Mildred, we got to go get Mildred.
But they left you here trapped in a closet.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
It's a little bit of a loner culture. You know, a little bit of a nomadic people.
Make excuses for them. You should come with us.
I mean, you kind of have to come with us, right? Unless you're going to stay here. Are you going to stay here, Frankie?
I mean, yeah, but what should we do about Mildred then?
We'll grab Mildred gently.
Well, we could probably just take the head and the rest will grow back, right?
Is that how it works?
Guess we'll find out.